So today is day six of Success Saturday. I think it'll go probably two more weeks, maybe three, with a wrap up. Today is Mastering the Inside States of Success. And it's kind of cool. I'm getting into this. And again, my contact info is always nfnlp.com. Twitter is Dr. Will at RealNLP. Instagram, Dr. Will Horton. I also have a couple other things I'm relaunching. Should be up this week, the new drwillhorton.com website, where a whole bunch of stuff will be in one spot, all the addiction stuff, the training stuff, and some of the my personal trainings will be there. NFNLP is letting you know that's all the NLP people that in the NFNLP world, if they're trainers, they have pages, they can put things up. And as always, the only easy day was yesterday. I love that saying, so I just like it, right? And I'm going to add my new saying is, be willing to do today what others won't, so tomorrow you can do what others can't. Yeah, that's my new one. All right. So what have I learned about success in the last week? We did some things. You know, I do post links to all the weeks together, so if you miss something or you choose to want to watch it, or, of course, feel free to share it. You know, we're building a thing here, at least in my mind I am. And how can you apply this information? And always, what's your block? What's your coping mechanism that served, maybe used to serve you, but now can hold you back? Last week, we talked about self-image. Did you begin to alter your self-image? What is your new self-image? And as always, for today, what can I learn new today? How can I grow today? And what can I do different today? And again, last week we did talk about what are your current goals, you know, what are your levels, those logical levels, which that really links into developing your new identity, because people talk about an identity, but your identity is only part of, you know, it's the biggest part, but you have, you know, your environment, your beliefs, your attitudes, your values, your behavior, all of those go together to make your self-image, you know. Because one of the things that happens when you first start developing a new self-image, you might be a little bit incongruent because you haven't changed your environment or your behavior and all that. So it's an ongoing process. And that's why we want our mental mastermind group, our mental buddy board. You know, mine's still right over there, right? So today, do successful people have a different mindset than the general population? Do they? I would say yes, right? So as it's my webinar, so let's just say yes, right? One of the things I've noticed, and I've talked about this for like 30 years, is I've noticed successful people associate into their successes and instantly in some way, shape, or form, disassociate from their setbacks. And a lot of times really successful people will not use the word fail. They'll use the word learning experience, setback, you know, pause, whatever. It's just kind of interesting. Richard Bandler talks about failing faster, right? Successful people fail faster than normal people. So they fail, they learn their lesson, they move on, right? Where the general population, I've noticed, associates into their failures and setbacks and disassociates from their successes. So you get people that say, like, they'll have a big success, they'll go, that's not like me. Right. And so they'll pull out. And then this started years and years ago. I was watching Larry King interview some people. And one of the first was Bill Clinton, right after he left the White House in 2000. And whether you like these guys or not, put that aside, right? They were interviewing Bill Clinton. And anytime Bill Clinton said something that he succeeded at, he would lean in and talk about this is what I did or my team or our group. It was totally associated. And then when they asked him about some things that didn't work, he would lean back and go, well, even Bill Clinton had some things to learn. So it was, he'd associate in him, my team, it was total associate to, like, you know, winning the election, winning the re-election, all the stuff that he did get done, whether you like him or not, right? So it was associate, and then of course he would disassociate, right? Like, so it was kind of interesting. And then they were interviewing Michael Jordan, you know, after the 6th world championship So I was watching, it was a sports channel, and I think it was Brian Gumbel was interviewing him anyway. But same thing, I noticed whenever he talked about like this championship, that he would lean in, I did this, I did that, our team, the, you know, my team, the Bulls, it was totally associated. And then they asked him about, you know, when he quit basketball after 3 world championships and went to play baseball. And Brian Gumbel, or whoever was interviewing, kind of said, you know, how did he take that failure? And he laughed. He went, you know, he had that Michael Jordan $1 million smile. He laughed, leaned back. He goes, well, buddy, even Michael Jordan had a few lessons to learn. And I thought they were the same thing, associate, disassociate. And he talked about what he learned from playing. But he goes, it reignited my passion to go back, you know, and do what I did. Because, you know, he goes, I'm on a bus with all these kids that want to play baseball. And they kept asking me, why did you walk away from basketball? Right. And so he learned something. And then I put Donald Trump up there. So whatever your feelings of him is, put that aside. This was long before politics, right? But they were interviewing him, and Larry King was, and the same thing, you know, whenever he would talk about his successes, and you know, he's had a few, you know, Trump Tower, this was right after they first reinvigorated Atlantic City. And all that. So he's leaning in going, I saw this, I saw that, my team, my. Then when they asked him about things that didn't work, he would lean back. He goes, well, even the Donalds, you know, has some learnings, right? And somewhat, he still does that somewhat, right? So it was associate in, associate out. Same with Tom Brady, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, the list goes on and on. What I think it is, they all seem to have a deep self-worth, right? And this ability that they associate into the successes, so they get the feelings and the good things, and they disassociate from what we would call and they never use the term failure, they always use term like learning experience, a setback, which is much different than a failure, you know, things like that. So successful people somewhat think different, at least from my viewpoint. And I think it's the same. And I link everything to addictions. I hope people understand why. That's because that's my clinical specialty. And I've noticed that the people that succeed in recovering from addiction associate into the successes, like being able to say no to a drink or going through a death of a loved one, a personal illness, bankruptcy, and they succeed and they can they'll and not drink, so they'll associate in. And then if they have some kind of challenge, they'll lean back and they'll disassociate and talk about what they learned. I was just in a meeting the other day, and there was a guy talking about, you know, he'd been sober a couple of years, he relapsed, and now he's been sober like 20, but he talked about what he learned during the relapse, you know, and I'm like, that's a different way to work, to think. So, and I'll bet you, all of you there, that if you actually went and did your mental mastermind group or your mental buddy board, I wonder if they have that. So when I look at my list and, you know, I see Tony Robbins, who I know thinks that way, Elon Musk, you hear him laugh about some of the failures he's had, you know, it's like fascinating, right? So all the, you know, all those people on my list, they do that, right? So what is your worth? What is your worth? Do you really feel your worth? You know, if I had and I know this has gone around, so bear with me. If I had a crisp $100 bill and I offered it to you, you would take it, right? I guarantee you probably everybody would take it because it's worth $100, correct? It's worth $100. Fine. If I crumpled that bill up and offered it to you, you would probably still take it because it's still worth $100. It's still worthy, you know, whether it's a crisp $100 bill or crumpled, it's still worthy, right? Even if it was soiled, you know, dirty, soiled, I whizzed on it, whatever it was, right? You might go, ew, but if you rinsed it off, straightened it out, it's still worth $100, right? So why is it we think we have to be a crisp $100 bill when most of us are crumpled, a little bit soiled, right? But we still have the same worth. But sometimes, you know, we judge our insides by other people's outsides, because they appear to have this crisp, you know, the Tony Robbins, the if you want to be a motivational speaker, or Brandon Burchard, all that, they're crisp, they're fresh, they're this, they're that, right? But I wonder if inside, at one point, were they other crumpled, right? Probably. I know our dear friend Tony Robbins was. It's part of his story, right? So why do we do that, right? We need to develop that self-worth. And that's one of the reasons last week when we talked about getting your new mental mastermind group is those, if you have a really good mastermind group, they're going to support you and keep talking about you feeling worthy, right? And basically turning your crumples, your wrinkles, the soiled parts of your life into a strength, right? And, you know, because strength doesn't always come from winning. You know, you always hear athletes talk about they develop strength and they learn more from a setback, from a loss. They come back stronger. They come back different, right? And this one I like by Arnold, you know, your struggles develop your strengths. When you go through hardships and decide not to surrender, that's true strength. So if you're this crumpled dollar bill, like we, some of us are, right? We want to do that. So today, first thing I want you to do is think about a success you had, where you did it. And especially if you can think of a success in your life where you honestly maybe didn't think you could do it, or other people doubted you, but you did it. And whatever, it's a personal small thing. You know, I'm not going to ask people to share it because your true, I think, those true seismic successes in your life are things people from the outside might go, really? Really? You know, but whatever it is, you know, I've had some pretty good moments in my life, but I still say one of the biggest was making the freshman football team, right? I didn't think I was going to make it. It was like, because I never played ball, I'm not big now, for God's sakes, but I hadn't hit the growth spurt. I probably weighed, you know, 120 soaking wet. But I made it. And I remember seeing my name on the list, right? It's a proud moment, whatever it is, you know. And other things, you know, and it's personal. That's all I keep stressing. Because if we were talking, people would throw in politically correct, oh, this was, you know, my wedding day or but what is your true success? What's a proud moment where you did it? Especially one where you didn't know if you could do it. And then when you did, you just felt that. So I want you to think about that and step into that proud moment. See it, hear it, feel it, smell it, taste it. Make it as vivid as possible. Right? Right? And kind of bask in it. Because this is a proud success. You worked for it. You had to do it. Getting, you know, when I passed the oral exam in California after the written and after that to get my psych license. I remember when, you know, I got the letter. In fact, I didn't even, the letter was delivered at home. And Christina got the letter. I was teaching a class in Portage, Indiana. And she came in and says, you know, you got your letter from the California Board of Psychology. And I remember thinking about it, because that test, the oral exam, only had a pass rate of like 48%, right? And this is like all the people get doctors from Stanford and Harvard and UCLA and, you know, and I'm like, and honestly, I can think back, because it's very vivid. I remember I was mad at my wife, because I'm like, God damn it. You know, I didn't know if she'd read it yet. I'm like, man, if I flunk and had to do it again, you know, I might not be in a good resource state for the rest of the training. I was about halfway through this trainer's training. And she goes, no, I already read it. And then I went, okay. Then I felt good, because I don't think she'd come and say, you know, hey, you didn't make it, you know. But I remember the feeling I had when she said it, right? And, you know, so successful people can enjoy success and still learn from setbacks, because it doesn't mean you're not going to have setbacks. So how do you do that, right? Well, like Arnold says, you're going to have struggles, but you got to learn how to associate into the successes and learn from the struggles, but don't surrender into them. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to do this experiment. You're going to think of three examples of big successes, and just give it a name. You know, mine might be football, license, army. Those would be three I could think of, right? Whatever it is. No, yeah, it's for you. Your brain can find it. And you kind of know when it was. You know, football is about 15. My license, I was almost 20 years ago, so I was 42. Right? So Army, I was 19, right? And then you could think about experiences where in retrospect, you learned a lot, right? I could say like marriage, my first marriage, at 24, right? I learned a lot. I learned I like to be married, you know, but maybe not to the person I happened to be at the time. You know, there's nothing against that, right? So other things, you know, one of the real estate, right? Learned a lot in that thing, right? So whatever. So you're going to have like, it says 3 to 5 experiences, examples of big successes. And we're going to step into your timeline and do these, right? And then we're going to have you think about the times you had learning experiences, but you're going to disassociate from feeling it, getting the kinesthetic or the olfactory or the gustatory. So you can't really feel it. You can only like see it, maybe hear it. So you're not as associated, right? And we're going to kind of change how you associate this. I call this success track, right? And we're going to experience this in a moment. I told you this week is kind of a fast week, but this exercise comes with a warning. If you do it and you really step into it, you become a little bit more adventurous and more open to challenge or risk. You'll take a challenge, you'll take a risk. Because again, if we went back to that list I had of people I'd looked at, right? Where was it? There, Bill Clinton, Michael Jordan, Donald Trump, Brady. Brady just did one. He left New England, went to Tampa Bay. Schwarzenegger left bodybuilding, became an actor, left acting, becomes a governor, right? So they take challenges. They try things. You know, Michael Jordan walked away from basketball, goes tries baseball. Bill Clinton, you know, ran for president when he was a shoo-in to be reelected again as governor of Arkansas. People would tell him to wait. So, you know, they're much more likely to take a risk, you know. Donald Trump running for president, right? So even though you're worthy, you may not be that Chris New Bell, but we're going to kind of straighten it out a little bit so you have a different framework for it. Cool. All right. All right. I'm gonna record this on something else. Cool. For me too, not just you guys. All right. So if you decide you want to do this, we're going to do the exercise now, and we're just going to have some fun with it. If you decide you don't want to do it, I would suggest you log off. This isn't for everybody. This is for those that really want to begin to reframe how their brain works. Okay. Are you ready? Everybody want to do this? Well, you're still here, so we're going to do it, you know? So sit back. It's funny, but before we start the real exercise, somebody asked me that, you know, today do something where it won't just be like lecture, actually, you know, like give a thing. And it was already planned. So that's, so everybody sit back, relax, close your eyes. So sit back, relax. Take a deep breath. And what I want you to do is I want you to imagine a chalkboard or a whiteboard. And those of us that know this induction, you've been there, but we're going to do something different. Imagine drawing a large circle in this whiteboard in your mind. Now, what I want you to do is step into this circle in the whiteboard in your mind. And as you step into it, you're putting everything outside of you, outside of this circle. So all the things going on in the outer world, with politics, with health, with challenges. That's all out there. You're in your circle. And now kind of make an X in this circle inside your mind. And now erase the X without erasing any part of the circle. And you're in the circle. And as you erase the X, you realize you can erase many different things. So in a moment, we're going to count backwards from 5 to 1, writing the number 5 and then 4 all the way back to 1. But with each number you write, you're going to become more relaxed and more at ease. So as you write the number 5, you think about 5 things in your life you can let go of right now. Maybe some stress, maybe some strain, maybe some worry, maybe some fear. What is something you can let go of? Maybe a little bit of discomfort in your body, a knee, a back, a hip. Right now, you can just erase it. And as you do, it just disappears. And as you erase the number 5, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. It's pushed out of your circle, out into the, vanished to the outer. 4, as you look at the number 4 in your circle, it's for you to forget. Forget the stress, forget the strain, forget everything, everything, except relaxing. It's for you to have some fun and begin to think differently about who you are. Even though outside you may have some wrinkles and some crinkles and some soiled parts of your life, inside you're still worthy. You're still that crisp $100 bill. So erase the 4 and just it's for you. 3, halfway there. And you think about 3. 3 times you've been successful. You just begin to think about 3 times you've been successful. Whatever it was, it's a personal thing. And maybe 3 times you've been successful where it was a challenge. You had to work for it. Could have been educational, could have been physical, could have been in your career. Maybe pick one of each. And you went, yeah, I did that. We're going to come back to that. And then you think of maybe 3 things where you had learning experiences. You were kind of dejected when it happened, but you learned a lot. And again, it could have been in your personal life, in your relationships, in your finances, in your business, whatever it was. And now erase the 3. We're going to come back to that. Now 2 is for you to remember to forget everything but what we're doing, because we're going to change some of the thinking on the inside, because you're a unique, worthwhile individual. And you begin to realize deep in your core that no one on the planet can do what you are put here to do. Of the billions of people alive right now, you're the only you. And only you can do what you are put here to do. So for you to do that at the number 2, you have to realize you're unique, you're special. And the fact you're still alive is a miracle. And 1. You begin to realize you are the one that has to save yourself. It's like in that Harry Potter movie where he realizes he is his own savior. And as you come in contact with the one within you, your higher self, your guardian angel, your higher power, whatever you want to call that one, you become one. And just let go. Good. And now what I'd like you to do is think about one of the things you did, a success that you had. And now you see yourself sitting in the chair wherever you are, and you drift up and you can see yourself sitting there, and you can look back into your past. It might be wherever it is, left, right, behind you, wherever it is. And you instantly go back to that experience, whatever age it happened to be. And I want you to instantly associate into that experience, see it, hear it, feel it, smell it, taste it, touch it, and realize you worked for this. Yes, there were some push through it moments. Yes, I did this, I made it. And feel the joy, the happiness, the contentment that is yours. Hear the friends and relatives going, yeah, you did it. Or, that's right. And now drift up out of that experience, but it's like you're forever connected with a special energy bungee cord to the feelings and the thoughts of this success. And now you go to the second success, whatever it happens to be. And you settle into that success. And you see it, hear it, feel it, smell it, taste it, touch it. Yeah. And again, know how good you did. You pushed through. You made it. Yes, success is yours. This adds to that worthiness on the inside that nothing on the outside can take away from you. And again, as you drift up out of that, you're connected energetically to these feelings of success. They become part of your core. Now you think of the third success that you had, and you're forever connected to it also. You see it, hear it, feel it, smell it, taste it, touch it. Yes! And now as you drift out, you're connected. Now you instantly see several other examples of big successes in your life. That's what you associate into. But now you stay way above yourself and you look down and you think about one of those learning experiences you had where it didn't turn out the way you wanted, but you learned something from it. And instantly, it's like there's no feeling. It's like we drain away all feeling. All you can think about is what you learned about yourself, about other people. And there's no bitterness. There's no feeling at all. It's just a neutral, I learned this in that experience. And you drift to another learning experience that you had. And you instantly disassociate from it. You only remember what you learned. And so what begins to happen is you look at the third learning experiences, those successes that you had become even brighter, more powerful, more feeling oriented, because you realize all of your experience made you that unique, special person that you are. That's right. So when you come back to today, when you look to the future, it's like you're being pushed into your future, because you think about all the successes you've had in the past. And yes, there's been some challenges. So when you look to the future, there might be future challenges, setbacks, that the worst that can happen is you learn from it. But you think about all the successes. And you begin to realize that you're willing to do what others won't, so you can easily accomplish what others can't. As long as you're willing to pay the price and do the work and go forward, and you do the things that others won't, you'll be able to do what most people can't. And you instantly begin to step up into that group that you picked, your mental mind group, your mental mastermind group, your buddy board. You instantly begin to feel that you deserve, you are worthy. Because deep inside, all those crinkles, all those rips, all those tears in that $100 bill that is you has not diminished your worth. In fact, it's made it more valuable. In fact, you're like a silver certificate, which is a dollar bill. If it says it, it's actually worth a lot more than the dollar. But other people only see the dollar. But you see your inner self-worth, and you can appreciate that. So as you look at these things into the future, when you look at the challenges coming up, you know that you can be successful. So in fact, you choose to jump ahead in your mind to one of the challenges you're facing. Might be a physical challenge, losing weight, getting in shape, changing your body, changing your diet. Could be a mental challenge, changing your thinking and feeling. Could be a relationship challenge, could be your career or finance, or maybe something that represents all of these. You jump ahead a few months in your mind and settle into that experience like it's already happened, where you're going, yes, I did it. It was work, but I've accomplished this goal. And you see and hear and feel the joy and the contentment and the happiness. You mentally know that your mastermind group whoever's in that group is going, yeah, you did it, you kicked ass, you, yeah, you deserve it. And you know that there'll be even bigger successes in the future. And you look way back there to you sitting in that chair when you did that seminar and you listened to this thing. And that you there can see the you that you're going to become. So as you look back from the success to where you are right now, you begin to see some things popping up that may happen in the future. And then when you drift back later to today and you look forward, you know it's going to happen because you've experienced it in your mind. And so you do that. All of these successes become normal and natural. And also as you drift up and you can see that future you that's had the success and you can see where you are today, you can draw on that higher power, the universe, the cosmic energy to ripple down and bring some magic and miracles into your life. Magic and miracles begin to sprinkle down in your life. So you are on your way. Good. And now I'm going to count from 1 to 5 and bring you back, but you come back feeling fabulous, knowing that you've been to the promised land and it is within you. 1, coming on up. 2, drifting to the surface. 3, wide awake, clear-headed and refreshed. 4, opening your eyes, and 5, open your eyes, come on back. All right, as you're beginning to come back, that was a nice little exercise. I want you to realize that this week's homework is to keep working on your self-image, adding in this self-worth, this idea, right? Because most people have a black belt in beating themselves up, you know, or you do Jedi level sabotage on yourself, right? So we're gonna begin to turn that around. That's our homework for this week. Keep adding to the self-worth so that your mental mastermind group is actually peers. They're not up there, they're your peers. Right? And begin to think about when you look at some of the super achievers, they have that deep feeling that they can do it, right? And they may present at one level some humility, you know? But if you're a sports fan, bear with me. If not, you could just kind of go. But do you think deep down in your heart of hearts, if you do understand, like if you know the game of American football, all things being equal, if you took Tom Brady and Brett Favre and Peyton Manning, and they were all in their prime, say 36, and you asked them, well, who would you want in the, you know, in the last 2 minutes of the game with everything on the line, you're down by 6, do you think they would defer to one of the other people? Or do you think they'd say, you're getting the ball out of, the only way you're getting the ball out of my hands is kill me, right? And that doesn't mean that they can't appreciate the talent, ability, and skill in their peers, but they know they can do what they're there to do. All right, I'm going to stop the recording now.